Howdy and welcome to Your Why, Season 5, Episode 10. Today we are sponsored by the Chapelwood Bookstore. They have partnered with Boomtown Coffee, which is a local small business that not only roasts their own bean, but has served retail locations in the Houston area. Their bean is a direct source as well as ethically produced. Still sipping on my latte from last episode, and it's great. Go down, check it out. Bobby, Sam, Joe, their whole hospitality team is usually down there throughout the week. They'd love to serve you some coffee, love for you to sit down and just hang out. We're trying to create a sense of community there, and so we'd love for you to show up. So we are back on with St. Maria's Hostel, and today, this episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about personal stories, personal whys, passions, and such like that. And so that's the first question I'm going to propose is, what is y'all's personal why? And what gives you up in the morning, gives you the passion? Because this, I can only imagine, is not easy work. It's very, a lot of emotions, a lot of just work probably goes into get the work done that y'all do. So what gets you driving? What gets you up in the morning to do that?
Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Sure. So really my training and sort of experience is as a social worker. So both of my degrees are in social work. And really for me, that is a lot about social justice, about social service. And what attracts me to Santa Maria, I'm very new there, but what attracts me to their organization is the focus on family preservation and family reunification. So they're, you know, in sort of child protective services, there's a long history of sort of removing children from women when the women are struggling to sort of take care of that child. And I really believe that instead of removing children from their mothers because their mothers might be struggling, we should be working on preservation. And that's one of the things that we're doing there by helping these women sort of meet their needs in terms of not only addiction treatment, but housing, healthcare, right? Really focusing on how to take care of their child. We're doing parent training and family coaching with the moms on really how to meet the needs of their children. We're helping keep those families intact, which we know is then breaking a generational cycle of trauma. So that's the big why for me in terms of Santa Maria. It's amazing. Not a lot of other organizations are doing what we are doing.
So for me, the why started when my son, who is now 32, at the age of 14, got into substance use. He was struggling in school. It's a typical story. Often when kids have special needs in school, they're not met, they become an outsider and they look for a tribe to fit into, and that's what my son did. And he had, from other family members, sort of this history of dealing with problems with, medicating himself. And so for 15 years, well, you know, we worked on that together. And there were very dark times, there were very serious times, and I was in a completely different career. And I decided, just like I do everything else, I'm going to jump headfirst in, I'm going to go for it all, I'm going to learn everything. And I did crazy things like train to become a licensed chemical dependency counselor and never do the intern, just so that I'd understand what was going on with him. And then I recognized that some of the skills I had were very helpful for fundraising and event planning and community engagement. And so I attended a bunch of series of classes at Rice on philanthropy, and I found a job in this field. I took a major pay cut, which was a really great spiritual experience for my family, because we started seeing what was important as opposed to what we thought was important. And just learned everything I could. And so for me, it's a very personal story. And, you know, substance use disorder, mental health issues affect everyone in the family. And so for me, I'm right there with Vaughn on that. It's wonderful to see the family being treated. It's wonderful to think that some other kid doesn't have to go through the things that my son did. And I feel like that's the big thing. There's the second thing that I love, and that is to see the unbelievable generosity in the community, because I cannot tell you how many people want to help. And Chapelwood's always been one of those. Mercy Street, we have a really good connection with them, but I get to take all the calls. I feel like, you know, it's, for me, every day is Christmas because somebody wants to help. And so that's just, what a rewarding way to work. So
that's awesome. And it's, I always enjoy getting to hear people's hearts and passion for the line of work they're doing, because it gets me excited about the work that's being done. And that's really cool to hear. What I kind of want to move into now is for y'all to maybe share some stories, whether they're personal or just helping. I think that helps us, the people who aren't necessarily connected and have seen firsthand, but maybe hearing stories can help us comprehend what that looks like in day-to-day life.
I can go first. So again, because of my background, I write all of our stories. So if you go on our website or you get a newsletter from us, then I've interviewed the person who's pictured and I've heard their story. So, and I've been doing that now and at my former job for about 15 years. So I've heard these stories of women mostly. Sometimes it's a family member. And the struggles to me and the darkness that they've come from is just, they're just almost unbelievable. There's never one that I hear that sounds like the other. And that's what I think is important about Santa Maria, is that we look at that as an individualized care for each person because their journey was different. They have to have different things. There are also a lot of commonalities, and it helps me to understand more about myself. I never walk away that. My favorite thing is always whatever happened to me today, because there's every day I hear a great story. Right before I got here, I took a call from a young lady who was in treatment with her mother when she was growing up at on a program, and her mother has just passed away, not from a drug-related thing, but other. And she said, I want to start a foundation. Can you meet me and tell me how to do that? Of course I will. And I mean, so she's my newest story that is like, I can't wait to hear how she got to that point and what her experience was like. It was obviously very impactful if she thought about it right after her mother died.
Yeah.
And so, gosh, I mean, where do you get to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I have a story actually from before I joined Santa Maria, but from before I worked there. So I have only been at Santa Maria since October, right? I'm very new. I left another organization I was at for 8 years as a director for our addiction services, really sort of having a shift in maybe how I wanted to spend my time and my expertise. And previously I was a child advocate, if people don't know what that is, like a CASA volunteer. So you're assigned to help advocate for kids in foster care. It's a volunteer position. It's also a great way to get involved. And I was working on a case, and the mom in that case went through Santa Maria. So I had no affiliation with Santa Maria at that time, did not work there, but was sort of the child advocate for two young girls that were in foster care, and worked with their family and some extended family and the mom really closely, and was able sort of from the outside to see her go through Santa Maria and watch her get her kids back, like watch her be able to rebuild her relationship with her children, to get back on her feet. I mean, that's a remarkable thing to be able to watch somebody to do, to go from the criminal justice system into treatment and then eventually back on their own. And so ever since then, it's sort of had a special place in my heart. I didn't know back then, that was years ago, that I would later work at Santa Maria. So it's just sort of a really cool full circle experience.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's cool to think about. I always think it's funny, having done this this podcast for over 2 years and sitting out with a lot of different people, it's always funny to hear those full circle moments where so many, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's always funny because God's always at work. God's always pulling someone, setting up things years in advance before we even know, like, that's what it's for. Something I think would be a cool thing to maybe try to articulate to the listeners for the, because I think trauma, abuse, you know, addiction, all this stuff, for someone who hasn't walked through it, is kind of hard to picture. Mm-hmm. It's hard to understand that mindset. So I don't know if y'all could maybe break down, like, if you, whether it's they know someone in their lives or just trying to better understand people that are walking through that, like what that mindset's like, and maybe how to better relate to it and have compassion for it, and not just be like, get better, like, because it's not that simple, right?
I would love to talk about this. I love talking about this. Yeah. You know, so we know from lots and lots of research that addiction is a brain disease. And what I mean by that is when somebody repetitively uses substances, their brain changes. We can see on brain imaging studies alterations in their brain. And particularly in areas related to like reward and motivation, but also areas that have to do with decision making and impulse control. So when we talk about addiction as a brain disease, we mean that this is not really a moral failing. This is truly an alteration in the way that somebody's brain works. Now, how somebody gets there can look a lot of different ways, right? We know that about half of somebody's risk for addiction might be genetic, and the other half might be environment. And that environment can look like exposure to sort of adverse childhood experiences, traumatic experiences, chronic stress, poverty, all of those things. But we also know that addiction doesn't discriminate, so it can really impact anybody sort of regardless of their socioeconomic status. I think for a lot of our clients that we're serving, it is a combination of those adverse childhood experiences and then exposure to drugs and alcohol, often at an early age. And then sort of people end up in really that addicted cycle where they often are trying to get out of it. We also know that because of the alterations in the brain, It may not even be that somebody doesn't want to stop. It may be really hard because they can't get out of the living environment that they're in, for example. So if you're living in a home where other people are still using substances, it's really difficult to stop, even if you have the best intentions, which is why residential treatment and recovery housing are so important. So we see that when people are sort of removed from that situation, they have an opportunity for their brain to sort of start healing and start returning to sort of a normal baseline, that they can start making different choices, and they have sort of the I like to describe it as sort of outsource their prefrontal cortex a little bit, where they have some people around them that are helping them sort of make those difficult choices, even in those really tempting moments. So I don't know if that answered your question, but that's really what it looks like.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think that's just a great kind of look inside. Like, because again, I think that there's a lot of people who have never, whenever you don't walk through the issues or the struggles of another person, it's hard to understand them. And I think a lot of people then can minimize what it's like to walk through that. So I think just any kind of education to understand that helps, and helps people to realize, okay, it's not just that they are making bad decisions. There's a lot more going on there.
Yeah. I mean, I have worked with people with addiction from like CEOs, professional athletes, to people at Santa Maria who have no resources. It truly is a disease that doesn't discriminate. It has nothing to do with moral failing or a character defect. It truly has a lot to do with the brain.
I think one thing that women in recovery often say is that when they first got to us in Santa Maria, they felt spiritually dead. They know what that means. They were flatlined. They did not have any emotion. They didn't have any human experiences. They were just going through their day, and each day looked like the one before, and that was just all about getting whatever it was they were addicted to. And so I think one of the things that's really important is to have that emotional healing, the physical healing, but also the spiritual healing. And I think that the members of your church can understand that. It's finding a walk in faith and going inside yourself to look for the spiritual strengths that you have, and make the decisions about a better future and a better hope, that there is a reason to recover. Because often it gets so dark that it doesn't feel like there's any reason. I've heard women say, well, I felt like my kid would be better off without me because I was so bad. And, you know, I'm sitting across the table from them, and they got a 2-year-old who's just precious, who's just, you know, so in love with her mother, and she's so in love with them. And that wouldn't have happened if she didn't make that decision to do the hard work. And I love what you say, find people to help her over the rough spots when she's not able to do it herself.
No. Yeah, you use the word hope, which I think is really what the community is offering, right? Because it can just feel so discouraging, especially, again, we think about this being multiple generations. People really don't even know that it's possible to get better, right? That their life could look different, that recovery is possible. And that's where recovery specialists and peers and recovery communities are so important to show that hope is there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, thank y'all. Thank y'all for recording this episode. Thank y'all for recording last episode. I hope this gives our listeners just a better, and our congregants here at Chapel, just a better understanding of what y'all do, what that looks like, and understanding the impact that y'all are having. And so with that said, as we wrap down, I'll ask y'all again, what are ways that people can get involved and help y'all with this mission and to serve these people?
So now I'm going to go the other way. The first one is to give us money. So yeah. That's easy. And you can do that online. And we always need that for just our general operating, just to keep the lights on and the meals coming in, all of that, every all our staff paid. So we appreciate that. We also love to have volunteers that get involved with us. And there are so many different ways, and it doesn't have to be every week or every other week. And so I would encourage people to look on our website, find my contact information, and call up and have a conversation. We'll train you, we'll get you engaged in something that you have a skill or a desire, a passion for, and we'd love to have you. And then the last piece that we could do is that we always need things like just consumable toiletries, diapers. And again, have a conversation with me before you organize that, because we could have just gotten a truckload of things after a hurricane, and we don't need that particular thing you want to go after. But we love to have those things. And it's a great way for a family or a book club or a sorority or a group like that to get involved.
Yeah. I'll add something to sort of the sort of contributing financially, is that many of the women that work for us have lived experience. They may have come through Santa Maria as a client at some point in time, or are recovering from their own issues with addiction. And so one of the things that we're really also thinking about as an organization is, how are we sort of taking care of women, not only after they're our clients, but once they become our employees? And so thinking about financially our operating costs, how are we supporting the women that are taking care of our clients, the other women that work for us now, but may also have that lived experience? Yeah. So it's a great way to support us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Go do that. Again, the episode, their website is going to be linked in the description of the episode. If you're watching on video, that will be coming across the screen as well. And we'll just encourage y'all to go share this message as well. Go share their message. Send this episode to someone that you know. Whether it's someone that you know that's maybe battling addiction, or maybe it's just like, hey, this is a really cool organization I think you should hear about. So go share that. And as always, make sure that you're subscribed, that you like, that you review this podcast, make sure that you're following us on Instagram at Chapelwood_UMC_serving, and on Facebook at CUMC Serving. We're also on TikTok and YouTube if you search Your Why Chapelwood. And as always, people, go and find your why.